Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome to the last day of October as we begin a brand new week. And here we are. Welcome again to all of you. And Wake Up With Hope is a wonderful way to wake up. And I pray that the Lord will give you a phenomenal week as we're stepping in to a brand new month tomorrow. Now, this morning, I want to share a word that God gave me in 2012. I shared this on Facebook last night, and I know a lot of you do not have Facebook. We will upload that video to YouTube as well. But for those of you on this call, if you did hear it last night, it would be worth it for you to listen again. Because remember, we don't catch everything the first time, sometimes not even the second. So maybe we need to hear it a couple more times. But I wanted to share this because it's still on my heart after the Lord spoke to me yesterday. You know, this word was given to me in 2012, 10 years ago. And I was up early in the morning in my closet, as I often do get up early, and the spirit of intercession that came on me on this particular morning was unlike what I had ever experienced before. I could see the faces of children, adults, just a multitude crying out, going through pain and heartache and devastation. Before the word came, I saw images of faces. And I knew that there was some type of distress. Something was happening to the land. And when this word came, I felt such a burden, such a heaviness that came over me. And I hit the record button on the phone because I knew it was so intense I could not even write down notes. Oftentimes when the Lord gives me a word, I'll write it down. And when I recorded it, it was an agonizing recording. I couldn't put my finger on it this morning. I would have loved to play it for you, probably scare you. My voice completely changed, and it was the Spirit of God really crying out through me. That's what intercession is. And my whole entire body was affected by this word. I was on my face, tears streaming down my eyes, and just could not get my composure. It was that intense of a word. And it was really God's cry, you know, God crying out for a land that he loves so much. So I'm going to pull this up real quickly. Bear with me just a moment, and I'm going to read this to you this morning. I've titled it God's Cry for America. America, my America, how hast thou strayed from my commandments? Oh, hast thou strayed from thy first love? For I have favored thee, I have exalted thee, I have blessed thee. I have made thee a leader among the nations. I have set my banner around thee, and I have blessed thee. But my America, you have forgotten me. You have strayed away. You have brought shame to my name and have blasphemed me with your abominations and your idols. And you have set a mark against me. You have opened the door to idolatry, and you have brought pollution into the land that I have consecrated holy unto me. For your founding fathers honored me and my word, but you have strayed away strayed far away from what I have established you to be. I have given you time to repent. I have given you mercy. I have given you grace, but you have not come back. You have toiled and pained and grown weary. You have been mixed in your doctrine and allowed seducing prophets to come into the land with lies. And my people know not my voice anymore. And my people know not my ways anymore. For my people are in darkness, as those who have never known my name. This generation does not know me. And I have cried out to thee, America. I have used voices that have cried out to you to repent. Repent from your ways, but you have not. My coming is nigh at hand, and unless you repent, the judgment upon the land will be severe, for there will be devastation. For my spirit is moving through the land, searching for those who will honor and obey me, those who will stay pure in the midst of the defilement. Only they will be saved. For the judgment and desolation will come to young and old alike. For sin is an outcry against my holiness. You should remember that line. Sin is an outcry against my holiness. In America, you must come back to the cross. There is great destruction coming upon the world. America, you have been favored, but you have forgotten me. Cry out. Let the leaders of my temple cry out. Cry out, pastors, evangelists, apostles, prophets, teachers. Cry out and lead the people to mass repentance now. For I have already released the six men. They are already walking on the earth now. The man with the inkhorn is looking for those who are crying out for the abominations of the land. Put aside your agendas, church. Put aside your agendas. Pastors, put aside your agendas and bring my people to prayer. For only unity and prayer and repentance and turning away will spare the severity of the judgment that is coming upon this land. For people will wander aimlessly. They will stand in awe of what will happen, because my wrath is going to be poured forth upon the land. Heed the word of the Lord, for the time is short. Heed the word of the Lord. Wow. Not something you probably expected to wake up to, but even though there is so much warning, there is hope. There is hope in this word for those who will call upon the name of the Lord. God never leaves us without hope. But this word is something that needs to really be pondered and meditated upon, because God does not give a word like this flippantly. God doesn't do anything flippantly. And this isn't something we just take casually. This is very, very important. I had just come back from prayer. I was talking to the Lord yesterday, and he placed it on my heart to go back to this word. I had not even thought about it anytime recently, and share this on Facebook last night. And I looked at the date and noted, it's been 10 years. 10 years. The number 10 is a cycle. It's a cyclical number, because you go through the series of numbers And once you get to 10, you have come to a cycle, and then you begin with 11, the next cycle. And God has allowed this word to go through 10 years. 10 years. As we have prayed and interceded, many have, for the land, but I believe that that company of many is really just a remnant. But we have interceded and prayed for the land, and we have seen God give us really a lot of mercy in the midst of the judgment. But how long? We are seeing so much corruption today on a scale that we have never experienced before. And God has given us grace, and because of the elect, he has continued to withhold the fury of his wrath, but it's coming. Now, our prayers can help to thwart things as far as God holding back the degree of wrath, because prayer changes things. And he said, you need to pray. He's emphasizing that in the entire word. Get on your face and pray, because it's going to be bad. But if you pray, I just may give you mercy, America. But enough of us are not praying. I want to read Ezekiel chapter 9, just a portion of it, so that you can have the understanding of the part in which I alluded to, which the Lord talked about, the six men being released in the earth. God had spoken to me about this months before this word came. I was not even familiar with Ezekiel 9. And the Lord spoke to me one morning, and as he began to speak to me, I realized, wow, we are coming into this now. And then, a few months after this word, as I was reading Ezekiel 9, the Holy Spirit came to me in the closet. But I want to read this because it's important so we identify with what the Lord is saying here. He also cried, this is Ezekiel 9:1, in my ears with a loud voice, saying, cause them that have charge over the city to draw near, every man with his destroying weapon in his hand. And behold, six men came from the way of the hired gate with a slaughtering weapon in his hand. One of those men was clothed with linen, with a rider's inkhorn by his side. And they went in and stood beside the brazen altar. And the glory of the Lord was gone up from the cherub, whereas he was in the threshold of the house. And he called to the man clothed with linen. Note that. That's the Holy Spirit. The man clothed with linen, which had the rider's inkhorn by his side. And the Lord said, go through the midst of the city and set a mark on the forehead of them that sigh and cry for the abominations. Note that. For those who sigh and cry, that's intercession. What are the abominations? Abominations is really, that word is a powerful word when you think about abomination. And it has everything to do with what is disgraceful, what is against God. And to the others, he said, go after him. So the other men are to go after him. I believe these are the angels of the Lord. Go through the city and don't spare. Don't even have pity. Slay young, old, women, children. But do not come near to anyone who has that mark. Begin, note this, and begin at my sanctuary. God's beginning with his house. So we have to see here that judgment has come upon the land. And this, of course, was Jerusalem. This was Israel in those days. But God is saying that to us today. This is a word of warning that we need to heed. What has been happening for the last decade? There has been a marking of the remnant. That's exactly what's happening. There has been a marking of the remnant. And the Holy Spirit has been going through the land, going through the nations, really. But when we look at America, because that's really what this word is targeted to, we see God looking for those who are interceding. He's looking for those who are in their prayer closet, who are crying out, not just for their own problems, but for the nation. I've said this over and over again. We've got to get out of our own world of problems because we're so selfish. Everything is catered to self. What about the nation? We become so insensitive to what others are going through because we're just focus on ourselves, but God is saying, I want you to have a burden for the lost, a burden for this nation. I want you to intercede because the sins are great and we need a move of God. God will never bring a revival without intercession. Never. If you look at the Bible, every move of God has come by prayer. And we are in the condition we're in today because we are not praying, not the way we should be praying. The church is not interceding, and it comes back to the leadership. God was very frank about how he put that word and how he phrased everything in this word that he gave me 10 years ago. He said, pastors, leaders, fivefold ministers, call my people to pray. But we're too busy building a bigger building, getting people in and out, 30 minutes, give them a coffee. Why aren't people praying? Because the leaders aren't leading them to pray. People are sheep. The majority of Christians, they just go to church, do their duty on Sunday morning, and come home. If your pastor isn't calling prayer meetings, people aren't really going to pray. They'll pray here and there. But I'm talking about intercession. When we fall on our face before God and cry out for the land, that's what we need. We need that now greater than ever. God already has judgment coming. It's already begun. But those who are marked, and note where they're marked, in the forehead. Who's the man with the ink horn? That's a writing instrument. They used to carry a horn, you know, like a horn of oil, but the horn would be filled with that ink, and they could mark from that ink. Well, think about it. God is marking those in the forehead because your forehead links with your mind, your thoughts. And those who are carrying the thoughts of the Lord with the mind of Christ, they know what the Lord is saying, and they're in tune with him. And they have a burden for their nation. But God begins to judge. Note what he says. They begin with the ancient men which were before the house. Note that. They begin at the house of God with the ancient men. What does that mean? The ancient men represent those who are steeped in the old religious order. Ancient men are those who are steeped in tradition. God is going to break down those traditions. Those who are so religious, Just because you're religious doesn't mean you're walking holy. The Lord is looking for those who are broken and of a contrite heart, who are crying out, who have a vision that's greater than me, myself, and I. And we need intercession today from everyone in the camp of the Lord. We need leaders that will bring our nation to massive prayer. Years ago, I attended, I believe Grace was probably, I think she was 2 years old. She'd only been, you know, recently born and maybe even a year and a half, something of that nature. And Steve Hill, most of you know him from the Pensacola Revival, he started a church in Dallas. And we became very good friends. And he was such a man that loved prayer and intercession, because most pastors aren't like that. And we would sit in his office and talk for hours about the Lord and about revival and about the things of God. And we had a Sunday morning service in which he would minister, but we also had Friday night miracle services. And he would pray and lay hands on people. The power of God would go through that church. It was awesome. And he would ask me to pray beside him. He would say, "Sharon, you take this aisle, I'm going to take this aisle." Hundreds of people would come, and we would stay till 10, 11 o'clock and just lay hands on everybody, pray for everyone. Miracles were happening every Saturday night. So we had services Saturday night. We had service on Sunday, but on Wednesday, he called the church to pray. And I so looked forward to Wednesday night, because he would just call people from the congregation randomly, come up and pray. Pray for the nation, or pray for this judge, or pray for this congressperson. Pray for this senator. Pray for the president. Pray for this law being passed. Pray for something that happened in the news. I absolutely love that. I absolutely look forward for Wednesday night, because we were able to be a body, and each of us would intercede for something different in the nation. And I thought to myself, you know, this is how it should be. This is what pastors should be doing. They should bring their congregations together and call people out and say, "You come pray for this, you come pray for that," and get the people involved in prayer. Do you know we experienced such great changes in the nation because of that? Oh, I missed him. I miss him, because he has gone on to be with the Lord. But I think about him and the passion that he carried and the fire that really ignited everyone around him. He truly was a man who loved souls and cared about souls and gave everyone a fair chance. He wasn't an untouchable pastor. He would shake your hand. He would hug you. He would talk to you. We don't have that today. It's very rare, unless you're in a very small church. And our church was not small. But he took the time to know people. And that's what we need. We need pastors after God's own heart. We need leaders after God's own heart. And we need a movement of prayer. We need to see signs and wonders, but we're not seeing signs and wonders until we pray. It's that important. Oh, I miss those days. But I am believing that God is going to provide a place for all of us to gather and just pray. I'm not a quote-unquote pastor, but as a minister of the gospel, I know the impact of prayer. I've seen it in my life. I've seen my father, who's a mighty man of prayer, get up early every morning and kneel at that couch and pray while I was getting ready for school. We need men and women of prayer. And I believe part of my mission is to raise up an army of praying men and women. So be praying that God will provide a facility, a warehouse somewhere. It doesn't have to be expensive, but someplace that we can just meet and pray as often as we want to pray and gather here in Dallas. It's so important. The days are so dangerous. And if we don't have this covering, what will become of our families? What will become of our neighbors? What will become of our city, our state? What will become of our nation? And we need men and women to partner with this ministry to finance the work, because it takes a lot of money to do what we do. And we live by faith. I never know month to month what will happen here. It is truly by faith. The income that comes in pays the bills, and we have many. It costs a lot to run a ministry. If you were to know all of the expenses that we incur on a monthly basis, and sometimes I wonder, Lord, I don't know how we're going to make it this month, but I trust you, and God will somehow bring us through. But we're at the point now where we need everybody on board, and we need people with a vision that say, you know what, I want to join you in this. I want to see my nation change. I'll help support this. And then we're going to have a huge campaign in which we need to raise over $100,000 to launch a national commercial on Fox and Newsmax coming up in January. And it's all about prayer. It's bringing the nation to prayer. It's teaching people, like bringing them into the military, God's military, starting them out with 60 seconds, taking them from 60 to 5 minutes, then from 5 minutes to 15, then from 15 to 30, and showing them how to do it and how to pray successfully, not praying like Paul says, beating the air, but we're actually hitting a target. It's all about raising up an army to pray. That's what God is looking for. Do you know that when you pray, you'll stay out of sin? People that pray can't just live in sin every day, because their focus is on the Lord. People that pray are broken. People that pray are humble. People that pray have an ear to the heavens, and they know what is going on. They're in tune with God. But when we get away from prayer is when we get into sin. And our nation has fallen far from prayer. We only pray in time of emergency. Then we go back. But we've got to cultivate a life of prayer. This is a strong word, I know, to wake up to on a Monday morning. But it's a word that we need to take heed of, and we need to listen to again and again. Look at Ezekiel 9. It's a sobering warning for all of us. And this word that God gave is a cry of his heart, because he loves America. This nation, founded on the principles of the Bible, by men and women who love the land enough to pray for it. Shall we not come back to prayer? The baton is in our hands now. It has traveled from generation to generation, and now it is our time. What will we do with what has been given to us? Maybe you look at your own life and you seem to be insignificant in a big world, but I want you to know something. As long as you have a voice, you are significant. Because the Lord wants to use you to bring the end time awakening to this nation through your prayers. You are so important. Your voice is important. Your prayers are important. And the more we add to this army, the greater the impact will become. If one can put 1,000 to flight, 2, 10,000, what can hundreds do? What can thousands do? What can millions? I'm believing that the Lord will raise up 1 million people, that we will impact 1 million people with these commercials and bring this nation to a place in which people will never walk out their doors in the morning without praying. Well, they'll never go to bed without praying. Well, they will truly be men and women of intercession. And it's a huge task, but together we can do this. We have to do this. It's a mandate from God. So, much for us to ponder today as we're going about our day. Remember to pray for the midterm elections. We're just 8 days away. But the Lord will work miracles. He already is. And I want to thank those of you that are joining me every day as I'm sending a video message, sending it written out via email and text. I want you to join me every day, and let's commit to praying, and we're going to see God move mightily. The Lord bless you. Have a wonderful day, and we'll meet again on Wednesday.